You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Sounds like some bad movie.
All right, there. Are you there? Are you there, good buddy?
Oh, I'm here. I am here.
Are you?
Yes, sir. I am rooted to the ground, and I'm ready for what is coming.
Oh, boy. Well, oh, let me get this out of the way. If everyone can't see, I am wearing a new shirt this week. And you know what's interesting about it? I just happen to be wearing my New Jersey, you know, where the weak are killed and eaten shirt.
Oh, classic.
And then, of course, I'm wearing my S. Michael Wilson shirt that he got me for my birthday, which I love. So the first time I ever saw the New Jersey where the weak are killed and eaten was actually Scott had this shirt first. Like, this is like 35 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, he had it. And I always loved the shirt. And nobody makes this shirt anymore. So I actually ended up having to buy a bootleg or somebody actually had a high quality
image
screen printed shirt. So this is like the really good one. So it's not like, you know, flaky or any of that. It's actually really well made on a Gildan shirt, which is a high quality shirt. So I actually found it on eBay, like pretty cheap. I was very, very surprised. So I had to own it, of course. And now I'm wearing this and it complements it.
You know, it's not cheap.
What's not cheap?
Nostalgia wise, the little muscle figures.
Oh,
muscles?
God, yes, yes. The guys are what, about 1.5 inches, 2 inches tall with like the
not
big,
barely.
They had like big heads with the like muscular bodies, but the heads were bigger. They're bigger, right?
No, the heads were the same size, but they were like 1 inch. They're very tiny. They're called muscles. M.U. And like it was.
Yeah, I remember those. Like,
oh, I looked them up over the weekend on a whim. And it's like, oh yeah, okay. One of them was going for $200, and I had that one as a kid.
Oh my God, the one that I had. Did they have one that was why can't I remember the actual name? But the Mexican wrestler with the mask, they had one of those guys, right?
Yep. Yeah, they had some of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I had one of those. I had one. He had a mohawk. I had that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a whole bunch. I remember those. But yeah, just you mentioned that. Anyway, we're reviewing a movie today.
Although I think I'd rather talk about the muscle guys.
Yeah, right.
I mean, like with the He-Man movie that just came out. It's not doing well, by the way.
I saw a couple of good reviews, and then I saw one very bad review. And I'm leaning towards trusting the bad review.
Well, when I say it's not doing well, it's just not doing well financially.
Financially, yeah. No,
it just
honestly,
you know what?
I'm the target. I think you and I are the target. Our target audience,
100%.
And I had zero interest in this film.
I wouldn't say I had zero interest. I had zero interest in going to the movies to see it. Now,
yeah,
my son, Scott and I were talking about this just before we went on the air. My wife threw me a surprise 50th birthday party, and they had to create, I later found this out because it was a surprise birthday party. They had to create a distraction. They had to create a distraction for me, so that I wouldn't come home or be home, actually, you know, and then it's not a surprise. So my youngest son wanted to go see The Mandalorian and Grogu.
Ooh.
And I'm like, I don't want to see that either. I was like, if we're going to go somewhere, let's go see Masters of the Universe. But of course, the time didn't work out. The only time was like something like 4 or 5 o'clock, and the party was starting at like 3, 3:30, something like that. So I ended up having to go see The Mandalorian and Grogu. Otherwise, we would have gone to see Masters of the Universe, but it just didn't work out. And I will say this, The Mandalorian and Grogu film, it wasn't bad. It was like, it was basically, I'm sorry, I'll just get this out.
Go ahead.
But it was basically the fourth season of The Mandalorian TV show. That's really all it was.
Mm.
You could just chop that movie up into 4 episodes, 5 episodes, and then call it a day. Done.
I had just as much interest in seeing that as I did that He-Man movie.
Yeah.
Zero. I had zero obstacles between me and He-Man, and I still did not see it. So.
And apparently the Darkness, the band The Darkness, is doing the soundtrack for the movie, and I fucking loathe that band because it's a modern day band that's trying to look, act, sound like a band from the 70s and 80s, like glam metal. And I'm just like, I don't like them. I just don't like their music.
Gotcha.
And it's like, they did the whole soundtrack and I'm like, why'd you have to go fucking ruin it? And who came up with the idea to get them to do the soundtrack? Like, stop it.
All right.
Fucking nonsense.
All right, I'm going to segue on soundtrack to the film.
I don't know if I'm
going to
be able to
today.
Watch this movie and not just say, yeah, it's fucking Darkness again. Fucking hate that band.
Trying to veer us back on course, sir.
I can't do it. Sorry, show's over. Goodbye, everybody. We're not even going to spin the wheel. Fuck this shit. Now I'm angry.
So the movie we're reviewing today is the sequel to the 1984 film Angel. Or 83.
84.
I'm right. It is 84.
Yeah, this came out in 85, the second one.
Right. Right. So the reason I'm confused is because the film is the sequel to Angel, which takes place in 84. The sequel takes place in 1985. However, 3 years have passed.
It says four.
4 years have passed.
It says four on the cover. So
yeah.
It's 1988, technically. Because she's graduating mm-hmm. college. So it's mm-hmm. 1988.
No, it's 85. No, it's 85 because there's a tombstone that says 85 on it.
So then the first film takes place in 1981, even though it was filmed in 1984.
No, it doesn't. It's just that time passes faster in the Angel franchise.
Oh, okay. I get it.
That's all it is.
Okay.
I like that
more than the band The Darkness. I'll say that.
Well, I find it weird that it's very weird that they did that. The film did so well that they decided to rush out a sequel a year later, and yet they just didn't care so much that they just like, oh no, yeah, 4 years difference. That'll be easier to explain. That way we don't have to worry about the underage stuff anymore. And they go through that trouble to make sure she's not underage. Still no nudity from the lead actress, Betsy Russell.
No, they got what's-her-face, the one from Alley Cat, to be naked.
Yeah.
Who, a year earlier, is the main star in a movie called Alley Cat, which we reviewed not that long ago. And then they kill her in literally the first 5 minutes of this. And I looked it up. This was her last movie. She did not go on to do other things. So she either didn't want to be an actress and got out, or couldn't get work anymore.
Well, she wasn't she wasn't good at act. I mean, thankfully in this one, she doesn't get to speak before they shoot her.
You're right.
Right. So, I mean, that much we were saved from.
So it's just one of those weird things. And the actress that played Angel in the first film did not come back for the sequel. They just got, they got Betsy Russell instead.
Which, from what I read, I think she priced herself out. I think she asked for too much money, and they're like, "Nah, we'll just go with somebody else."
Yeah, and honestly, that might be why they did 4 years later, because she's more grown up.
Okay, well, but again, also we get out of that whole underage area, which is kind of iffy, you know. So let's make sure she's of age.
The cop that saves her from the first film, they get a different actor for him too, and they kill him in the first 5 minutes.
Yep. So the basic plot, since we're heading into that point, is that in the first film, Angel was a high school student that moonlighted as a prostitute.
Yep.
On Hollywood Boulevard. That's what I thought.
I don't think they say Hollywood Boulevard. They just keep calling it the Boulevard.
That's what it is. Okay. Yeah,
because I think if they said Hollywood Boulevard, they'd probably get in some sort of trouble.
So, so the first film was, there was a serial killer running around, and that's how she got off the streets with the cop. So in the sequel, it's 4 years later, even though it's next year, and she's graduating college and going into law school, or she graduated law school, one of the two.
Right.
So she's going to be a lawyer. That's all she said. So I really, don't know what degree she's achieved at that point. But the cop gets killed by some mafia goons who include Mustache Man.
Well, that's his the guy that thinks he's a cowboy. Oh, Tim Rossovich. No. Oh, you're talking about the other Mustache Man. Yeah, that was
Mustache Man, Tim Rossovich.
Yes, I read that he was Tom Selleck's roommate. So apparently they both grew mustaches and decided to never shave them off.
He, I tell you, Holly didn't want to watch this film. I said, Mustache Man is in it. She's like, I'm in. and he has lines in this film.
He actually does have lines.
Man, that's why they don't give him lines in films.
When he popped up, I was like, oh shit, he's in this.
My favorite shot is there's like a split second shot when he's pointing the shotgun at the old lady just before he shoots. He looks so happy. No, not the old lady. Is when he shoots the one of the trans cross. Right. I don't know what to call them because it was in the 80s. I don't know.
Drag queens.
But they weren't really drag. They weren't in drag. They were just cross dressing. I mean, it was two guys in dresses.
I mean,
you draw your own conclusion.
They dolled themselves up. Pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, makeup and all. I would say drag queen, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in the sequel, Angel decides she's going to avenge the death of the cop that when he's slain. So she uses her old connections of the yo-yo guy and then Kit Carson, played by Rory Calhoun.
I know we probably mentioned it in the first review of Angel. He's a real Hollywood actor. This was just towards the end of his career and life. I think he died from emphysema because he was a heavy smoker.
And Solly, the lesbian owner of the hotel,
Susan Tyrell,
excellent actress,
been in a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm, a lot of John Water stuff too.
I would say that's probably the first stuff I've ever really seen her in was John Water stuff, like Cry Baby and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So with them,
she tracks down Glitter Man,
Johnny Glitter.
Thank you, Johnny.
Which is Johnny Glitter. What's his face from Grease? He was in Grease, the original Grease.
Oh, that's okay. I recognize him now. Yeah,
yeah.
And who witnessed the murder of the cop? And so when they find him, he's being assaulted by the mafia goons. Mustache Man included, and in this whole process they start shooting and killing these mafia guys, which confuses the head of the mafia who doesn't know he thinks it's Epstein
from Jersey.
Epstein. I was like, holy shit, the Epstein files are stretching back in time now.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I had to pause that for a second. It's like, is that a coincidence? Listen,
you can't say the name Epstein without just thinking negatively. So where I live now on the highway, there's a lawyer that works in this area and his last name is Epstein. I'm like, I'm not going with that guy. I'll get a different guy.
Yeah, so in this back and forth process of trying to avenge avenge the death of the cop, they capture the son of the mafia guy,
which is the guy from Assault on Precinct 13, and he was in.
Oh yeah,
in Escape from New York.
Right. Yeah. I now I got that. Yeah. I didn't notice that at first.
Yeah. I mean, it's only about, it's like 9 years later for Assault on Precinct 13. And it's only 4 years later after Escape from New York. And he just, he still looks like that guy, but that guy from both of those movies was probably, he's still thin, but like,
right,
like 30, 40 pounds thinner, like his face gaunt, you know, just creepy. It's the best way I could explain it. Clearly why Carpenter put him in his movies.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, and in Assault on Precinct 13, he's the guy that shoots that, that little girl when she wants ice cream, or she gets ice cream.
And it was supposed to be a twist.
Yeah. She comes, that's right. She comes back to complain about it.
One of the best scenes ever. Oh, much more brutal than this film. We'll get to that. So they kidnap the son of the mafia guy. Meanwhile, the mafia guy kidnaps the baby that Solly inherited from a little buck, a baby that the Solly inherited from a past guest, only for a third act cliffhanger. And they end up doing a swap, even though they accidentally killed. Well, they didn't accidentally. Well, no. They killed.
Kit shoots him right in the head when the phone rings.
Yeah, right between the eyes.
He looks the other way. But you know what? We glossed over the fact that they had to rescue Kit from a sanitarium.
Well, you know what? I kind of did that on purpose because I want to. Because now that we've given the basic plot of the film, let's go back and talk about the tone.
The tone? You mean the cross between a vigilante film and a slapstick Three Stooges comedy?
Yeah.
Like that music, just the ghost rescue Kit and that whole setup. Yeah, it was ridiculous. It's like, am I watching a vigilante movie or what? What am I watching?
To be fair, I thought the music at the opening when they raid the undercover cop's house and kill her and the old people that are there for some reason, I thought the opening music was just as ridiculous.
It was.
This is Dr. Demento music. I'm not Dr. Demento, Dr. Detroit. I feel like I'm watching Dr. Detroit with this music.
And there are some parts in this film where the music actually matches the tone properly. It's like it's like different people were doing it.
And it's a sequel to a film about an underage prostitute. And it's almost like it's the shit from the 70s to the 80s. It's almost like seen in a 2 year span. It's like the grittiness of the 70s, the kind of like, yeah, life sucks. Life is dirty and shitty and this is everything and we're going to show it all. That kind of like fades out in the 80s to that slapstick, goofy, hey, let's try to get the kids in here nonsense that kind of like saturated films in the 80s. Everything became slapstick. Right. Everything became like watered down for a general audience so they could get a PG, eventually PG-13. But I mean, this film, I think, exemplifies that. You watch the first film, and they were watching a sequel. They barely mentioned what she did. She's like, well, I didn't tell my boyfriend about what I, you know, about my past. It's like, why should you? So it's because we all want to hear about it, because that's the interesting part of this movie. And like the worst, the closest you get is like, you're not still on the street, are you? Says, no, this is great. So, you know, it's perfectly kid appropriate, this film. Wow. Despite the full frontal nudity in the opening scene and a couple of deaths, few deaths.
Well, yeah, there's nearly a rape scene later that they stop.
He slaps a couple prostitutes around. It wasn't a rape scene.
Well, I mean,
I'm not saying it wasn't bad.
No, one of the girls was an underage girl, which was supposed to mirror her from the first film.
That's right. She follows her because she bumps. She sees her when she first comes into town. And then she bumps into her in jail when she gets swept up in
And then she ends up with the bad guys, like a crazy threesome, and he starts beating them up.
Mm-hmm. and he ends. Is that when he ends up going out the window?
Yes, that is that. Yeah, scene.
Now, yeah. So excuse
which
me.
Which is hilarious, by the way.
he dies, right? That's the, we're assuming he's dead, right? Because when they show his face on the windshield, he's like, oh, and it's like this guy, the guy's getting right. eyes rolled up and stuff. But, yeah, it's funny as shit, but he's dead. But
hold
right?
on, they just cut to the next part.
Yeah,
like, they don't cut to that like medics coming to get him or you know like taking him to the morgue. They don't the cops. They don't do any of that.
I'm assuming they just dragged the body off the hearse, whatever it was, and drove off.
Right. It was the pet cemetery hearse or something like that. Yeah, they probably threw him off and then drove away.
Yeah, I this film is wacky. And why does the pet cemetery mortuary hearse, why does it have flubber noises?
I don't know.
Why is it making flubber noises? And that's when I lost it. I was like, okay, this is a comedy now. And you know, and again, the more I think about it, most of the films I watched in the 80s were these like inappropriate films, but they dumbed it down so younger kids would watch them, like DC Cab, Dr. Detroit.
Right.
I mean, these were not films for kids. And
I can't remember the name of it, but it was like a college comedy, lots of nudity. I saw it on Cinemax, you know, when I was probably like 10 years old.
Throw a dart. I mean, yeah,
exactly. And I can never remember the name of the movie. I vividly remember a scene where this guy is in bed with this girl and they're messing around. And I guess the mom or the dad comes home and they come into the room and they hide him under the sheets. And I remember there's a camera shot of under the sheets where he takes her top and pulls it down and like you see her breasts and the guy's eyes get all wide and like happy. And I just don't remember the name of the movie, but I vividly remember seeing it in the 80s, way too young to watch something like that. But
yeah, I think this is an example. I think this is you can't walk away from this film thinking, oh, they weren't looking for a younger audience of this. This is not a film for adults.
No,
it is not. But I completely lost it. When after they kill the son, the mafia guy's son.
Oh yeah,
and they're like, and he's like, okay. And they don't really say what they're going to do next. It just goes to the next scene, and they're like, please tell me they're not going to pull a Weekend at Bernie's. And then they show up with the wheelchair. I'm like, oh no.
In their defense, Weekend at Bernie's came second.
Fair enough, but I was just like. And then the Band-Aid over the bullet hole in his forehead and his eyes are wide open. I'm just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
And then they have the gag in his mouth.
Yeah, this is a farce. This is not a real film.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
DC Cab was definitely grittier than this movie. Less deaths, but definitely more adult than this film.
Better written.
Oh. I'm just double checking my notes. It's like my favorite line besides the Epstein one was you ragtag band of misfit vigilantes. Who do you think you're fucking with?
Oh, that
which is right before
he gets shot in the head.
Right before, yeah.
Yep.
And I was like, I think he repeated word for word what his father called them. I think that's
yeah.
Oh, wait, what was it? What his father said after they find out? So wait a minute, a hooker, a cowboy, and a Jewish dyke. That's our guys. That's our bad guys. And like the film leaned into like, you know, and also I think just like the last film, the film is very positive towards the LGBTQ society, especially with the inclusion of the introduction of the two new characters. What were their names again? It's like, Mike and Pat. It was like they were male. Yeah. They gave a male name, Pat and Mike. That was it. Man, am I good?
Pat's androgynous, but
but you know what I'm saying. You sure. know what I'm saying. They're guy names, and so they you know it wasn't kind of a. That's why I didn't know what to say. I don't know if it's they're not really trans, especially for that time period. I just you know don't know. But I mean, their inclusion in the film and how they were positive. Although I don't know, if being gay or being a transvestite makes you any less aware of the biology of a male when they're doing the diaper thing. And he's like, "Oh, you got the stovepipe in the wrong direction." It's like, how do you not know this?
I know. Well, they probably had them in there because they killed off the drag queen from the first movie. What's his face?
Yeah, yeah.
The guy from Victor Victoria.
Right, but they were no near as, they were just walk-ons. They weren't substantial characters like he was.
And the last Starfighter, that guy.
But yeah, I know. Yeah, that guy.
I still, from that first movie, I don't, I know they did it because to create, you know, a dramatic emotion that, you know, they killed a main character, but I still wish they didn't. Although I don't think he probably would have came back for the sequel.
No, definitely not.
No, he was filming The Last Starfighter when this was made. So even if he was alive, I don't know if he would have been able to make it.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the minute she goes back and meets Yo-Yo, the Yo-Yo Master, it's like the clown. It's like, all right, I know exactly where this movie's heading. We're going to round up the gang.
The old gang.
And that's what happens. And, you know, and there's that. Oh, I also, I love when she gets all the street people to come meet at a location in like a basement somewhere.
Oh, right.
So she can tell them the
but not before Kit shoots two bullets into the ceiling to get everyone's attention.
I think those were blanks at that time. I thought of that too, and I was like, no, he has blanks as well. Those are probably blanks.
Let's be fair. I don't know.
About all right, that. But while she's talking, all I could
think
was
thrown into a sanitarium because he's walking around with loaded pistols, and you know, on the boulevard.
He knows his weapons. He knows how to use them.
He does.
But while she's giving the speech to this crowd of people in the basement, all I could think of is like, you have something to share with everybody, Amazing Larry.
You know, it's funny. Whenever I see Kit from these movies, lose the cowboy hat, lose the mustache, and you basically have Rick from Rick and Morty. I mean, like. I mean, obviously it's 40 years too soon, but it's like, that's all I see. I see Rick.
Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, as far as 80s films go, it's a weird one because it's like I said, I think it straddles that line between that gritty 70s and the plastic 80s.
It absolutely does. And it's halfway through the 80s. So, you know, the 80s are established now. You know, mm-hmm. It looks less and less like the 70s. It's its own thing at this point, you know, because, you know, we've talked about this several times. When you, at least then, nowadays, not so much. But when you crossed over from the 50s to the 60s to the 70s to the 80s to the 90s, and even the early 2000s, you could always tell the difference between decades. And whenever something that was, whether it was pop culture or a film, specifically movies and TV shows, when you would cross over from the 70s into the 80s, that first year or two of the 80s was really still the 70s. You know, that first year or two of the 90s was really still the 80s. You know, it's just because it takes time.
There's no solid demarcation line.
Yeah, it takes time to, you know, to become your own decade where it's like, oh, that's different than the previous. So.
Yeah, I see people now talk about 90s films. And I was like, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I know.
I was there. For me, after the 80s, everything is just a blur.
Absolutely. And you know what? After the 90s, the 2000s, 2010s, 2020s, they all blend together. It just,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It all seems like
there really is advances
in technology, but not really advances in, like, I don't know, in like genre or
there's really no discernible difference between the decades anymore. There used to be 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, all very, very different. You could absolutely tell, oh, that's 70s, oh, that's 80s, oh, that's 90s.
Well, also, let's be fair. You and I are focused in that time period as well, so it is biased based on our experience.
But we're also living past the, like, you know, the into the 2000s and the 10s and the 20s. So we see that too. I mean, yeah, sure. Yeah. We might be a little jaded, but you know,
I'm not saying jaded, but I'm saying, like, if you look at my Letterboxd account, which, you know, you need to get one specifically for this reason. And it tells me how many films I've watched from each year. And the number one year is 1988. I've seen 123 films from that year.
Wow.
And it kind of, you know, trails down from there, but that's a peak year for me. 1988. I saw the most films from that year. I didn't see them that year, but the year year.
I get it.
I've seen the most of. So it's, I mean, that's our meat and potatoes. That's what we're old guys. We're losing the light with the new stuff. That's all I'm getting at.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm just willing to admit that it's partly my fault that I can't understand what the hell a 90s film is.
I can. I mean,
that's all I'm saying.
No, I can, absolutely can. I was only 14 when the 90s started. I was very much a 90s kid as much as I was an 80s kid.
I have nothing more to add to that.
I was just my rant.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, do we want to rate this thing?
I don't know. I was checking my notes.
The big climactic ending is the baby. He's still holding the baby. She tells him to throw his gun down. He does. Then he tells her to throw his gun down because he takes the baby and holds him over the railing, probably at least 4 or 5 stories up.
And you never actually see him hold it over the railing, though. It's all quick cuts showing the baby close, then showing him. I was watching. I was like, give me one shot, long shot. I want to see if they actually, you know, had insurance for this.
Nope.
Like, no.
No, not at all.
That kid goes nowhere near a fucking railing. And
even the upshot, you know, looking straight up, it's like clearly it's a fake baby. So, but no, it's so they have that where that's his only leverage is that he's holding the baby over the ledge, and he tells her to throw her gun down, which she does. He picks it up. Then he puts the baby down on the ground where there's no railing, and he's just basically smiling and laughing. It's like, you won't get the baby in time. And he's just waiting for this kid to like crawl off the edge.
Watching gleefully as the child crawls towards the edge of the ledge. Yes. Yes. With joy in his face until he gets shot from the elevator.
And then, of course, what's her face? Susan Tyrell. She shoots him. He falls back. She goes to get the baby, but the baby falls over the edge. Falls 3 to 5 stories, somewhere in that range. And of course, kid is down below and catches the kid. Mm-hmm. No, nobody's hurt.
I thought Sally was going to catch him. I didn't know Kit was going to catch him.
Yeah. So then... the joke was she keeps telling him that he's going to drop the baby. That's like the joke through the movie. Give me that baby. You're going to drop that baby. And of course, he's the one that catches the baby 3 stories up. So then they all leave. Oh, because what's his face? Johnny Glitter shoots Tom Rosovic, Mustache Man.
Mustache Man. Yes.
He just starts shooting blindly and then hits him.
Mm-hmm.
He just closes his eyes and just starts shooting everywhere. So... he says he got shot in the leg, and I think it was, I didn't see him get shot.
It was a ricochet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could hear a ricochet go off. And he's like, oh, I got shot. Medic. Yeah.
Medic. And then Kit catches the baby. They have him in the wheelchair, and they all walk out. Credits roll. Like
why? It's
that bad.
And again, maybe I'm focusing on the wrong thing here, but Johnny Glitter, there was a dead guy in that chair. Get out of the chair.
Yeah, it's like, walk it off, dude.
Yeah, they all walk down the street to wacky music as the cops come from the other direction. It's technically a vigilante film, but like she doesn't really track anybody down as much as she... Oh, we forgot, Ossie Davis is in this.
He is in this, briefly. He's a police chief.
Yeah. Oh, now one thing I did like that was kind of cool because Kit Carson gives Angel this little derringer, like a 4-shot derringer.
Right.
And
talking about the parking garage scene?
Yeah. So the parking garage scene, the crooked cop tries to kill her. And so they're shooting at each other, or he's just shooting after her, but she they're both hiding behind pillars, and she comes out and click, and it doesn't work. And they do it like three times. It's, so by the fourth time,
exactly,
he just walks out.
Three times, yeah. Yeah, he's all confident. So the fourth time,
and then she nails him in the shoulder. I was like, I thought it was kind of cool. I was a little bit tense on during that scene. I like that. I thought that was fun.
It was actually,
that's a positive.
It was actually done okay. And then Ossie Davis saves the day because the dirty cop is going to kill her, but then Ossie shoots him instead.
Also, the guy that played the dirty cop, I'm not sure what the dirty cop's name is.
Ossie or Ozzie? And it's just spelled with S's.
I always thought
it was Ossie Davis.
It might be. I don't know. I say Ossie just because I'm aware of the S's. I'm probably wrong. I don't know what the name of the crooked cop was, but I know every time I see him is like, yeah, he's crooked.
Every time.
That's a guy who cannot play a straight character. He's going to be a crooked.
No. Hey, get in. We got a break in the case. She's like, oh, cool. She gets in. He drives into her parking deck. Hey, you pissed off my friends. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, you're threatening.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. It was a really bad plan too, because he's all of a sudden he just speeds. Well, you know, back then they didn't have cameras or anything. You could kill someone, just like walk away, and they never find you. Jesus.
Yeah. Now it's Man. Totally different.
Yeah. Thank God. Thank God for our overreaching security state.
Thank God for Big Brother.
Yes. Bless you, Big Brother.
Yes.
But again, this is a weird film. It's not. I mean, it is bad. But it is kind of fun too, because it's made for kids. I swear it's a kids film. I gave it a 5 on Letterboxd, but I'm flexible if you want to go higher.
I'm actually okay with a 5. Oh, higher. Higher? Did you say higher? Are you out of your mind?
I did laugh a lot during this film, and I think half the laughs were intentional. Okay, I don't know.
I don't think I'm ever revisiting this. If I were to give it a 6, that means I'm going to come back every once in a while and watch this fucking thing. I'm not.
Fair enough.
5 is I am okay with a 5. Higher. I want to see if I want to see if I can talk you into a 6. Jesus. Higher, shit.
But I'm just gonna mark it officially on. Jesus, Angel's Revenge. That's the wrong year.
That's the third movie, okay. Right?
Oh, and I'm getting. Sorry, yeah, not Angel's Revenge. Damn it, I'm losing my mind. It's
Angel 3, Angel's Revenge. Is that what that one was called?
I don't know. I just know I couldn't figure out Angel 2.
Okay.
Avenging Angel. I'm
yes, it's losing Angel it. 2, Avenging Angel.
Avenging Angel. Yep. It's 4.9 on IMDb, so yeah. we're actually boosting it a bit with our 5.
Yeah, we're really gonna make a difference.
We made a little bit of a difference, about as much difference as Angel made.
Yeah, right.
And
maybe,
also,
maybe
I
she
point
gets
out,
naked in the third film, but I doubt it, because I believe it's Betsy Russell in the third film.
I'm pretty sure it's not Betsy Russell in the third film.
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's somebody else.
They get somebody else for the third movie here. Let's find out. Let's see. Avenging Angel. Angel 3, the final chapter. Who plays Angel in the third film? How is she not on the home page? Or like the main page? Tony Basil? Is in the third movie? Jesus. I guess she wasn't too busy after she did.
Want to point out.
Oh, Mitzi Capture plays Molly Stewart Angel.
Told you. Yep.
But Tony Basil, didn't she do that song, Ricky, Ricky, You're So Fine? Isn't that her?
No idea.
I'm pretty sure.
I want to point out briefly.
I think that was her
that
big
even,
one-hit wonder.
Even the costume she wears in the movie poster.
Mickey, You're So Fine. Yes.
God damn it.
I'm sorry. Listen, I had to get it out. Had to. It's done. Go for it.
No, I already, I'm good.
I didn't hear it.
I was just wanted to point out that the costume she wears on the movie poster is never seen in the film. She wears a much more modest outfit.
Yeah.
Doesn't exactly look like a, she looks like a club girl maybe, but not a prostitute in this film.
It seems like that was done a lot in the 80s. Shit like that. I remember there was a video store, and I, to this day, I don't know why my dad went to this video store, but it was a video store in Newark, and my father would take me, and he would pick movies from this place in Newark, and it always had this weird smell, and it's just like, we were renting films there, VHS tapes, in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, and movies like this, that's all the movies that they had. Like, everything that they had was movies like this. They had posters on the wall. They had like the horror movies, the big box ones, you know, the ones that said, you know, banned in 37 countries, like movies like that, you know, like Watch Them Die Slowly, you know, shit like that. So it just, I don't know. Maybe they were cheaper than other rental places. I don't know. But we used to go to Newark to this video store all the time, and we used to rent movies just like this. All the fucking time. All the time. Oh, man. Are we ready to spin the wheel?
I think so. Now, I got a prediction for the wheel tonight.
Really?
I got a feeling. I got a feeling deep inside of me. We okay. We spin the wheel, and we have the thing now where we can veto, and then you can veto, and then if we have a third spin, we get to pick from the three.
Yes.
And so far, we've ended up spinning three times every time, and we've always ended up with the third spin.
I think we've decided that we're just spinning three times unless we truly love
the. Well, we haven't done that so far. We've been vetoing. The point I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I want to get at is every time we've gone with the third spin. It's been weird. My feeling tonight is we're going to hit gold on the first spin.
Oh, well, big.
I got a strong feeling.
Big predictor there. All right.
Yes, I got it. I feel like today's the day. Tonight's the night.
All right. Let's see if have you gone back to watch some of the episodes that we've done? Like,
yes.
So you know what? I always comment on the music that this thing always spits out. Have you gone to that point of the show and heard me talk about the music and then actually hear it? Because I know you can't hear it. It just, I don't understand the music in this.
I actually separate them on YouTube. You can go to the actual video of just us spinning the wheel.
Oh, really? Okay, that's awesome. I have to check that out. All right, let's see if the music matches the film we just reviewed. Let's see. Usually it's like fucking... it's usually like clown music, or it's like techno, or it's just some other variation of bad music. But let's see what we got. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's do it. YouTube canned music. I just got on this amazing cruise. Art of Dying. What is that? I don't think I've
Art of Dying.
If I've seen it, I don't recognize the title.
Of Dying. I don't remember it. I think it's an 80s action film. 1991. Art of Dying.
Wings Hauser. Oh my.
Starring Wings Hauser. Yes.
This movie was the exact type of movie that my father was renting when we would go to that video store in Newark. This is it. This is the exact fucking type of movie. I've seen this. I know I've seen this because we rented it at that video store in Newark, and it's just.
I don't think I've seen it.
I don't want to see it.
All right, veto it.
I am vetoing it.
All right, fine. Spin it again.
All right, let's do it again.
What do we got?
Maximum Risk.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Ringo Lam, I believe.
Oh, wait. Didn't we had this last week. Or the not. Yeah. And I vetoed it.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. Again. No, I can't veto it. I used my veto.
You know what? I'll veto it because I want to see what that third choice is.
Okay. I'm sorry. I ruined your prediction.
So it's either what you don't know that yet. We might still be watching Wings Hauser.
That's
it's
true. Right,
so far, it's Wings Hauser or JVCD. JCVD, excuse me.
Yes, it's Maximum Risk or The Art of Dying so far.
Or
last one. All right, we'll move down here.
Best of three.
Oh boy.
What?
Oh, Chud 2. Chud the Bud.
Bud the Chud.
Bud the Chud.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think my prediction was pretty accurate. I think we're going to go with Art of Dying. Don't you agree?
You know, I've never seen Chud 2.
I've never bothered, but I'm sure it's not good.
Art of Dying. I don't know. I just feel like we just watched the movie. Angel is just, it's just exactly like it.
We can do Maximum Overdrive Maximum Risk if you prefer.
I don't want to watch that either.
You want to watch Bud the Chud?
No. I don't want to watch any of these. I guess we'll do Art of Dying.
Yeah, I think that's the good choice. Also, it's only 95 minutes. Not that bad.
That's good at least. I don't like these 80s, 90s movies that we do sometimes that are 2 hours or longer. They're too fucking long sometimes.
Ona Z is in this?
Ona Z?
Yeah.
The Art of Dying?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, for anyone that doesn't know who Ona Z is, she's a 80s porn star. She did make it into the 90s as a porn star as well.
I was just glancing down the list of actors, see if I recognized anybody. I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting that.
Ona Z, yeah. Where is she? Let's see.
She plays Frances Warner.
Frances Warner. Oh, there she is. Ona Z. I remember her.
That's a blast from the past.
I've watched a few of her movies.
the good old days.
The last thing that she made was from 2009 called Backstrokes and Toilet Fantasies. Oh my.
The dark side of the industry.
Yeah, most of these are porno films. She gets naked in this. I'm already calling that.
All right, so we got to be on Ona Z alert while we're watching this.
Oh, wow, how many movies did she make? These are all porn, with the exception of like a real film here and there.
Mm-hmm.
What was that one called? This Butt Light Is For You.
Oh, Michael Pollard's in this too. The creepy looking guy.
Yeah. She made 198 films, of which probably 193 of them are porno. Double D Doll 6.
I think that one's porn.
Yeah.
All right.
Strippers, Inc. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Let me stop.
I'm sorry. 2, 4, and 5. She wasn't in 1 or 3.
Before you get too far down this memory lane,
and you
can't get back, we should wrap up.
I'm not going to lie. I might check out a couple of these. No, I'm kidding. But I'm really not. But I am.
I got a couple.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Whatever. All right. I got something to look forward to. I got Ona Z to look forward to. I wonder how she must get like fully naked in this thing. I mean, like, why hire a porn star if you're not going to get her naked?
Oh, sometimes they want to break into the industry, you know? Yeah,
okay. This came out in 1991 at the height of her porn career.
Fair enough. But still, you know, people can dream
about being naked. I'm curious how naked she is in this. Is it going to be just topless, the whole shebang? I mean, like, what's I don't know. Now I'm interested. Now I'm interested. I might watch this tonight. I don't know. Gotta wait for the kids to go to bed. All right, we'll go ahead and end this. This is episode 480 of Movie Sucktastic. As always, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate that. You can go to our website at moviesucktastic.com and you can download, listen to, and watch the YouTube videos right from the website. As far as watching the videos, you click on the link and it'll take you to YouTube. I haven't incorporated a video player into the website. It's not that I can't, it's easier to just send you to YouTube. You can go to iTunes and you can do the same thing. You can listen to all the shows right from there. You can go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic and you can see everything that we post. You can go to letterboxd.com/moviesucktastic and you see all the cool stuff that Scott does there. You can leave us voicemail at 908-514-4470, or you can email us at themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com. You can download our podcast player at moviesucktastic.com/mst.apk, or just download your favorite podcast player for whatever device you're using and simply do a search for Movie Sucktastic. Every episode is there for free to listen to, all of it. No membership needed. It's just all there for the taking. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
Yep, I say do what Angel did. Stay in school. Just trick at night.
Okay. Don't listen to him, kids. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week when we review The Art of Dying. Wings Hauser doesn't do any of that.
No, no.
He just, like, eye fucks the camera. And he just, like, he said,
no, I don't want to watch.
He made so many bad movies in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. And his son, Cole Hauser, has turned out to be a pretty good actor. I mean, like, he's made a bunch of things. I mean, like, he is...
You're going to run the music out.
Well, I'm not. But the biggest thing he's doing right now is he plays Rip in the Yellowstone, you know, universe, the Taylor Sheridan universe. And he's got a new show called Dutton Ranch. And he just nails it as that character. He really does. So, anyway. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.